Awesome. Well, we've been here a year. Isn't that great? It's just a weird thing to just as we're looking at this past year. One of the great things we did was we did these Lent books, and we talked a little bit about this on Wednesday. I really am so happy that we got these. I almost said, like when I was thinking about this, I really enjoyed doing these, and that's not necessarily true. It's not easy, right? I mean, last year was a pain all through the process. We had Sue helping and Kathy and Tim, and everybody was pitching in, but a lot of the editing and stuff. This year, Miranda did like the bulk load of the main editing. But we still had a lot of contributions, certainly Adam and myself and some others, got in there. And there was a day, like this last one, where Tim and I are like fighting. You know what I mean? Like, I'm never going to do it. And he said, and it was funny because his email back to me would, like, one I think was like final, boom, like, like final. And then another one came in, like final, like I think there was like an exclamation point. And then, we're talking about you, Tim. It's okay. And, so then like as it progressed, the last one comes in final question mark. it's like we're going back and forth. One of the things is it was really funny because I sent him our book. I thought we were done, right? Well, we're missing two entire deals in there. Like there was completely missing, and then one I don't think got read at all because we're like looking at it like what is that? So we're like trying to figure that out. So I'm trying to scramble to try and edit and do some work on that, a little bit of rewrite on it. And we were missing one completely. Well, Tim had sent his. You'll get to read it later this week. But Christians, it's awesome. But I didn't know where it was. I knew I saw it come into my email box, but I didn't know what happened to it. I don't know why it didn't get to Miranda. All this kind of stuff. So we're missing that one, and then we're completely short one. I mean, there's not even a name that's supposed to be attached to it. We're just completely short. So I have to sit down and figure out how to write one. I mean, there's like the 11th hour, and I'm on hour 14 writing my devotional. And it was just like, oh, and I go through it, and I was so happy when it was done. I was like pleased as punch that I wrote this thing. And Miranda gives me the big data boy on the back, and, I sent it over to Adam, and he had a couple questions. I sent him back, and he's like, yeah, good job. And, it was just that completion. Just that feeling, it's done. And they're good. Certainly we could keep working on them and kind of like refine them. And in years to come, if we continue to do this, we want to do that some more. We really want it to be a discipleship tool for our community and really get, it's great to get to know each other, but there's more to getting to know each other, right? There's getting to know each other and then helping each other form as we grow and become more sharp, more clear, more like Jesus, right? One of the things that I had the privilege on is Tara sent hers and asked for, feedback and stuff. So I went through and did all my feedback. Little did I know that Adam was on that same deal. And so it was really neat to see Adam's feedback after mine and to really get, oh, I see that now, or I get that, or, okay, maybe that was different than I would have thought, but whatever. And then there was a couple parts where, like, yes, I said that. And he said it too. You know what I mean? So there was this neat little aspect to where we just got to have this multi-layered discipleship. I'm getting discipled by Adam while I'm trying to disciple Tara. You know what I mean? We have that layered thing that happens here. And it was really cool. I really enjoyed it. One of the advantages I had for being able to write it, and I feel like it, again, I'm not saying mine's the best one in here when I go out. I'm just really happy with mine, so get that very clear. But I felt like one of the advantages of going through and doing it was watching how it was being edited. And then I'm able to kind of like, get ahead of that and, okay, do this and that and, watching with Adam, all that kind of stuff. There's something about seeing how it's done and listening for, the way that it's, kind of spelled out for you in advance. And so it was really fun for me. And I'm thinking about this in the sense of that's what we do as students, right? Like when you go to class, you kind of learn how to listen so that you get the test right. Right? Now, what is it? How many points for that if I put this part down so I'll spend my time here or this way or that? Don't we? We try and figure it out. But how many of you guys recognize, I'm sure we all know this somewhere, that just because we listened for how to take the test doesn't necessarily mean we've learned. It doesn't actually mean that we've really listened to what it is that they're bringing us. And so listening is very funny when we start thinking about, and it's easy to get things wrong, right? It's easy to go, okay, I got it. And then you get it back and Miranda's like, I think this needs to be completely rewritten or whatever. You know what I mean? It's just like, no, she didn't say that. But, you know, there is that chance, you know, that you get it back and you're like completely off base. Like, what in the world? How did that happen? I know he said this, or, you know, I'm taking a class right now and I completely missed the fact that you can't turn in late work. I took this class before and I was able to turn in late work. So now I'm like, oh my goodness. And I'm kind of negotiating with him right now and I may have to take it again because I didn't listen, right? There's this thing that happens if you don't pay attention or if you miss things or if you get in a certain mindset when you're listening, right? And obviously, when it comes to the Bible and the spirit life, we want to know the answer, certainly, right? That's kind of part of it. You know, we want to know what is it he wants from us? How does that work? But the thing about it is God's not necessarily interested in us getting it right. What's he interested in? Us transforming to be like him. He does things differently. We get confused because we're trying to check the box and figure out what's the test score and how do I do this? And we see this, you know, it's funny how much today you've already heard, read in some ways. I guess it makes sense because it's Palm Sunday and there's a lot, you know, of common material in that respect. But I was thinking about in the sense of listening, you know, for example, if Ian's in trouble, inevitably, Quinn is going to come up to me and say, okay, so he didn't pick up the room. She's going to come tell me how she just picked up her Legos, right? She has nothing to do with this, right? But he's in trouble for not doing what he was told to do. She's going to come up and tell me what she did right. Or what is she going to say? She's going to come up, Daddy, I love you, right? What's going on in that? What is she, what's that? She's trying to get on favor for sure. She wants to be not in the untroubled category, right? What else is she doing? I mean, that's part of it. I don't know exactly, but I agree that that's certainly a huge part of it. Manipulation. So she's trying to work the system. Okay. So, yeah, we all know how this works, right? Try and figure out how to get in there and, okay, how can I? Yeah. Yep. Sticking it to him. She's. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. She's going to just, and that happens. I mean, you know, this happens all the time. So we try to stick at each other. We try to try and get on the good side, these sort of things. And I think one of the things that happens is when I feel in trouble, I get really destabilized inside. Don't you? If you screw up or if you do something that you're embarrassed or whatever, there's a serious destabilization going on inside my heart. I'm like all over the place going, oh my gosh, how do I fix this? How do I make it right? What do I do? And if somebody else is getting yelled at, you know what I'm saying? There's a similar kind of thing because I'm identifying. What did I do wrong? Did I put the Legos away? Did I do this? Did I do that? And we kind of like have this scurrying thing happen. I do. I'm guessing you do as well, right? So reading some of these passages that we're going to read this week, you notice, for example, in Matthew chapter 17. And they go up to this mountain, right? And they could go up, the disciples, I think they take, what, three of them? Peter, James, and his brother John, and they go up to a high mountain. It says in verse 2, and he was transfigured among them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses, Elijah, and talking with them. Then Peter said to Jesus, so I get this idea that, okay, so not only, you know, does trouble cause this, but I also want to have the right answer. I also want to be the one in class that's always standing up there and going, I know what to do. I know what to do. And so Peter, I think, gets there, sees this amazing thing, and he's going to contribute to the transfiguration. Right? He's got the answer. He's got what is needed. And so he blurts it out, right? Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, he was silenced. Suddenly, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud, a voice said, "This is my beloved son. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Just shuts him up right there. Just like, right? All through the scriptures here, this listening thing is an issue. They're trying to figure out how to get it right. They want to figure it out. And Peter, I love Peter. He just keeps sticking his foot in his mouth. And I don't think he ever really gets it right. He sort of does at Pentecost, right? There's sort of this kind of like, but he still messes up later, you know, in Acts if you read it. But he certainly had a better grasp of it. He had a better sense of it. If you go over to chapter 18, starting at verse 15, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault. When the two of you are alone, if the member listens to you, go. You have regained that one as a brother. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about something, about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Now, what's that about? We've heard that 100 times. What's that about? Two or three are gathered in my name. What's the first thing you think of? Church? Is that what this is about? Not at all. We don't listen to this all the way through, do we? This passage. We think two or three are gathered. You know, the two of us show up and we're like, oh, Jesus is with us, right? I was watching Hayden Robinson and he was talking about this passage and I've never seen this. I never caught this before. You know, and he's like, this ain't about prayer, friends. He says, it's good to pray, but this isn't about prayer, you know? And I never saw it in that regard, but he kept coming back to the point. What's the point? What's the point? He kept hammering to the point. What is underneath all of this? What's the whole point of confronting the person that sinned? No. What's the point of it? It says it in the first sentence. So you gain a brother. It's not about purifying the church and making us all holy and all these different kinds of things, although, yes, that takes place. That's a byproduct of the thing. But it's not about that so much as it is that he is going. Look at this. Go back in just a couple sentences here. I think Barron read this last week, if I'm not mistaken. Verse 10, take care that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you, in heaven, their angels continually see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he leave the 99 and go to the mountains, on the mountain, and go search for the one who has gone astray? And if he finds it, truly, I tell you, he rejoices more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of your Father in heaven that any one of these little ones should be lost. And then he goes on and he tells you how to do it. Right? Like, it's just this, it just clicked for me in a way that I never understood. I heard it differently. And so Peter steps up into this, and he gets in and he goes like, well, how many times do I got to forgive him? Seven times? Again, his magnanimous gesture. He's going to contribute to this thing. And I believe he was I think he was being honest on this. I mean, I think he's always being honest. I don't disparage him in that regard. And I applaud him for over and over and over again sticking his foot in his mouth and going. That's a great example for us, especially one who sticks his foot in his mouth often, right? But and goes again. But the point is, what does he say? Seven times, and what does Jesus say? No, 70 times seven. And then he goes on and he talks about the unforgiving servant. And he gives him the whole illustration about, you know, your sins are forgiven, you know, but now your turn to forgive other people. It's easier if you don't get caught up in worried about the nitpicky stuff. It's not about the math. It's not about getting the right answer on the math quiz at the end of the day, right? Later it happens again. Again, it's Peter. We just experienced the rich young ruler. The guy comes. He wants the right answer. It's a whole setup, the same thing. What do I do to get eternal life? What's the right answer? Jesus hits him right between the eyes. Sell everything you have. And then follow me. It's that simple. And the guy did what? What happened with that guy? He went away sad. That was the one thing that he couldn't let go of. The one thing. And we all have our riches. Don't get caught up in the idea that you're broke as I am. Okay? Right? We all have the stuff we will not let go of when Jesus asks us to. He always goes for the gut in that regard. And our hope is that we can repent in the moment and not go away sad. We don't know what happens to the rich young ruler. Maybe he does go back and sell it and come back later. We don't know exactly his end result. But what we do know in that moment, he did not obey the Father. I was listening to this guy I was telling you about just a minute ago, Hayden Robinson. He was talking about there's two laws. And there's the law of fire. Have you heard this before? I've never heard this. The law of fire, and then there's the law of the stop sign. Okay? The law of the stop sign, you get a bunch of people, they see on the road, okay, there's 2 minutes traffic here, it's too fast, whatever, so they go, they legislate. If you ever saw that, I forget what that comedy show where she's out there trying to get a stop sign put in by her house. It was on Channel 7, but I can't remember the name. What was it? Modern Family. She's trying to get a stop sign put into her house, so she ends up like running for mayor or something to get this stop sign. But the point being is, you know, you get a hold of the legislation, they go out and they vote on it, they get a stop sign in there, they put it in there. $25 if you run the stop sign or whatever. I think it's probably more like $75 nowadays. But the point being, this is an old tape. But the point is, so you go through the stop sign and you get it, and then, you know, maybe they raise the price, maybe eventually they put a light on there. But the consequence in there is somewhat arbitrary, right? They vote it. You know, all these are arbitrary decisions. But the law of the fire, if you stick your hand in the fire, it's going to get burned. There's a law there in play that I don't care what your vote is on that fire, it's going to get burned, right? And he talks about many of the principles of the kingdom of God is the law of fire. We get all caught up because God is this unjust judge and he's going to give me this ticket and blah, 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 blah. It's like not that kind of law. God doesn't want you to burn your hand. He doesn't want you to stick your hand in the fire. And we get mixed up on that, don't we? We think of God in that way sometimes. But the rich young ruler goes away sad, and Jesus says, what? It's better that a rich man, or I'm sorry, it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Well, let's just read it because I'm screwing it up. I get going here, right? And then I don't listen. Verse 23, then Jesus said to the disciples, truly I tell you that it's hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to ever enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard this, they were greatly astounded and said, then who could be saved? But Jesus looked at them and he said, for mortals this is impossible, but for God all things are possible. Then Peter said in reply, again it's Peter, right? Here he goes, look, we've left everything. And we followed you. What will we get? Do we get the A? Do we get the goodie? Do we get what's the end? Truly I tell you, the Son of Man is seated at the throne of this glory. You have followed me. You who have followed me will also sit at the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit the eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. He's kind of right, but it's still that tension, just trying to dial it in. Mother of James and John gets on it. We're not going to go into the whole thing, but you know how she's like, can you give the, you know, right seat to my one son and the left seat? And, you know, you can only have it if you drink the cup. And they're like, okay, well, where's the cup? I'll drink it. You know, you don't know what you ask, right? But you're going to drink the cup. It's just there. It's close. I feel like I'm a living example of most of these. Maybe you do too sometimes. Later on, he gets to the part. Remember, Jesus has gone into Jerusalem. Greg read it all already this morning. He's kicking down. He's dumping things all over the place. He's got the whip out in some versions. He's just like, this is an angry scene. He's flipping out. He is as angry. This is destabilizing if you're a disciple. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. Is this it? Are we going? You know, later on when he gets arrested, Peter, what does he do? He grabs the sword. Okay, let's go. That still wasn't it. Like there's this, you know, like what is going on type moment going on through these passages. And then he sits down and he talks to them and he says to this. I'm not going to read all of these, but we know them. And these are really interesting to read. Jesus said to the crowds and the disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you to do and follow it, but do not do as they do. They do not practice what they teach. They might get the A on some level, but they don't truly get it. They don't truly learn what this is all about. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, and they make their philanthropies. Anybody have that word? What's that? Verse 5. Can somebody read verse 5? I'm sorry, 23, verse 5. Philanthropies. And their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and their best seats at the synagogues and to be greeted with the respect of the marketplace. You skip down. It says verse 13, but woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you lock people out of the kingdom. And I almost feel like this is worse. For you yourself don't even go in. And when others are going in, you stop them. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. And he just goes on. I was thinking about this. I coach baseball. A lot of you guys know this. And just my schedule and life and all of these things have been going on. I haven't had a chance to be as a coach on the field as much as I'd like to. And what's interesting is we've got great dads and we've got some great coaches. Our head coach is a good coach, so they're coming along. It's totally, you know, not any indictment on anybody. They've done a great job with it. But I know what I can contribute in that arena. I know the game of baseball. I know how to coach. I know how to encourage and play and all these different things. It's really interesting. Something in the midst of these last 2 weeks, I've just had just this wild and crazy time. And just trying to figure out how to fit in, even to the coaching thing, because I've done this my whole life, but I'm just, because of things, I'm off, and I can't figure out a way to just be settled in the midst of it and just go for it. And it's been kind of interesting conversations around our house and just how that all works. And one of the things that occurred to me in the midst of this is just thinking about how much of us, me specifically, but for you guys as well, how often do we not enter into the presence of the Lord and sit with him and engage him? And how does that impact the people around you? It certainly impacts my family when I am all over the place and not grounded and, you know, certainly not seeking the Lord and just being present in that way. But I know I'm not alone, right? Who is impacted? Let's do conversely, right? Look at these pictures. Listen to Sarah here. How powerful did she impact us today? How amazing of a job did you guys do with that? And you just let yourself be moved by it. And you brought that. We hold ourselves back, but we don't see the little implications that it goes on around us. I was looking, even just, it's interesting even today, just how few people are here today. If you look around, how this place has been exploding with people, right? Now, granted, you guys are on spring break, you know, like the whole Vanguard contingent. There's different, you know, we could name a couple people, but just look at these different chairs that are all around here. Look at these chairs. Some people have, you know, things that they're doing that are just like full on. We know there they are. They're good with God. Okay, I'm not talking about them. There's people that are blessed to not be here for whatever their reason. Certainly Adam and Wendy get that pass as they're in Hawaii preaching right now. You know, so there is that kind of a level. But look at these empty chairs for a second. And I wonder, what if their name was Jerusalem? What if the empty chair, if you just looked at the chair and that name right there is named Jerusalem? And then if you'll walk with me for just a second, remember Jesus has just turned upside down the temple. He's cursed the fig tree. He's had this encounter with this rich young ruler. Then I wonder what it's like. He goes down this corridor maybe and climbs up these stairs. And if we just go up with them, we might see that the stairs, there's some broken, you know, ness on it. It's not the best part of town. They don't take care of these roads over here very well. And so maybe he goes up the side of this house and he gets on top of the house. And if we carefully walk up the stairs and we could see him over there. And as you get up there, you can see kind of over the temple is kind of over there in the corner. And you could see kind of the guys cleaning up a little bit, some of the tables and you see conversations going on over there, muttering, somebody's gesturing, probably talking about Jesus's actions. And he sits there and he looks and he's just given this woe to the scribes and Pharisees. And we get this little glimpse, this moment. He's not talking to anybody in particular, except maybe you right now, here in this room. He's not necessarily even talking to you. He's just sort of like letting you in on it, letting you see. What is the point of all this? Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. These chairs, this temple that's destroyed over here. Not the temple itself because it's still standing. He's going to talk about that in a minute. How I long, how often have I desired to gather your children together as hens gather her brood under her wings. You were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you that you will not see me again until you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. They missed their chance. What I find interesting in this, what if they repented? What if this was like Jonah? When Jonah shows up to Nineveh, they all repented. There was like sackcloth. It threw Jonah for a loop, right? What if Jesus showed up on the scene and he didn't have to go to the cross at all because everybody just listened to him and repented? Wouldn't that be something? I mean, it messes with our theology and it didn't happen that way and I don't really know about all that kind of stuff. But his heart is there, his broken heart for the people he wanted to see protected, saved. The empty chairs, the empty rooms, the empty churches, not just ours, obviously. We get a glimpse of his heart After throwing things over, after yelling, woe to you, and all this stuff, there's something behind that that he was hoping for. He wanted them to listen. He wanted them to not be all discombobulated and try and figure out the right answer and run around and figure it all out. And for us, I want us to just be quiet for a second. And if you would even, just close your eyes. And I'm just going to pray, God, I'm even afraid to ask you because I want to see your heart. I do want to see your heart, God. God, will you share us with yourself with us again? Will you help us to know you? We don't want to be those people that don't even enter into you. God, help us to see Jerusalem. Lead us. Help us to knock on the right doors. Even today, help us to knock on the right doors. Be with us today. Be with us this week. God, grant us the courage to step out and to keep going over and over and over. Help us to let go of getting it right, but not quit trying. Not quit stretching out our hands. Not quit stretching out our concerns, our hopes. We do love you, God. We love that you're patient and you're kind. We love that your heart for us is this fierce. Certainly not just for us, but for others, but that you have brought us so far, that you've brought us this far this year, that we're a completely different church in so many ways than we were when we walked into this building. And I don't even know what to say right now. I feel like I just want to encourage you guys just to pray. I know you're praying right now, but if you want to share a prayer, if you want to speak up. I encourage you to do that now. God, we just listen to your Spirit. And again, I encourage each of us as we go. Bronson, do you have the clipboards? How do you want to do that? Okay. So we're going to go out, and some of us, not everybody can probably go out, especially with the babies and stuff like that. We're just going to invite some friends. We're going to go across the street and just invite people to come join us for tacos. We're going to bless them in the name of Jesus. We're going to just hopefully, God will lead us to a conversation. It'd be great if God just flat out wants to, they want to meet God. That would be awesome. They don't, that's cool. We're still going to go, and we're going to bless them, and we're going to go out there. The taco truck should be here pretty quick, so we don't have a lot of time, but if you guys could come on up and fill in the first couple rows.